hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Oh man, it is sure good to see you guys back in the flesh. Hope you guys have had a good first couple of weeks out of lockdown. I've had a pretty eventful week myself. I have been recovering from something called shingles. And I hear that, because some of you know what that means. So shingles, I thought, was just something that was on the roof of a house or on the road out in the middle of the wop-wops, but it turns out it's actually a rather painful skin condition. And I'm actually on a few painkillers tonight, and so I am a little bit fuzzy, but if I say anything that's a little far-fetched or if I'm trying to be funny and it's just not really funny, let's just agree to blame it on the medication. Can we do that? Well, do you guys want to actually, I actually have a picture to show you what the shingles looks like on my back. Paints a pretty accurate picture. So if you want to see the real deal, come see me after the service and I'll show you the real picture. It is a little bit graphic. So as I was praying about what to share tonight on our first night back in this house, I just was really feeling this sense of the Lord stirring me about a topic that I have wrestled with a lot over the 12 years that I have walked with Jesus. And I'm guessing it's probably something that you've wrestled with yourself. And this something comes from having an expectation about the way that something is going to go and then watching as none of your expectations get met. And so to illustrate that, I'd like to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a chicken. Now, this was no ordinary chicken. This was a traveling chicken. And this chicken had a dream all of its life to visit all the countries of the world. And so it had ticked off 66 different countries, and it came to number 67 on its list. And that country was Egypt, land of the pyramids, where the pharaohs once roamed. And so this chicken, with all of his excitement, he scratched and scratched together all that he could, and he finally bought a plane ticket to Egypt. Gets on the plane, and he gets upgraded business class. That'll be important for you to know in just a second. And he flies off to his destination, and he gets off the plane, and he discovers, to his dismay, that he hasn't landed in Egypt. He's landed in Greece, a country that he's always been, or already been to. The end. You know what's disappointing? That story. And disappointment is what I want to talk to you guys about tonight. Maybe disappointment is something that you felt once or twice in your life. I know for me, disappointment is something that has this unique ability to either trip me up in my faith and leave my faith laying in the dirt wondering what the heck happened, or if I respond to disappointment the right way, it can actually be a door into deeper relationship with God. And we all know what it's like to be disappointed, right? I mean, we all know what it's like to not get the Xbox that you wanted for Christmas. You know, you know what it's like to not get the promotion that you felt like you deserved at work, and you know what it's like to leave the cheese rolls in the oven too long and reduce your kitchen to a smoldering pile of ashes and despair. These are the things that are disappointing in life. But where does disappointment truly come from? Because some things that are disappointing to one person may not necessarily be disappointing to other people. I mean, for some of you, this lockdown, going into a month and a half of that, it was torturous. And I mean, the moment that they lifted those restrictions, you were at the drive-thru at KFC at 3 a.m. getting your chicken fix. And then others of you who are maybe of the more introvert persuasion, man, this was like a dream come true. And you've just exited this glorious Netflix-fueled season of your life, the joys of which you will probably never touch again in this lifetime. And so different things can be disappointing to different people for different reasons. But disappointment mostly comes from one particular reason, and that reason is unmet expectations. If I have an expectation that things are going to go a certain way and then they don't, well, the first thing I tend to feel is disappointment. Now, everyone on earth knows what it's like to be disappointed, but when you are a follower of God, there's this other layer to disappointment, because now maybe there's this thing that you want, maybe you want it more than anything else than you've ever wanted in your life before, and you're actually friends with the God of the universe who has the power to snap his fingers and make that dream a reality. And when he doesn't do what we expect or what we hope for him to do, well, then we can actually find ourselves disappointed with God himself. And you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that 2020 has not gone the way that you guys have expected it to go. And some of you may be wrestling with some pretty major disappointments tonight. And if that's you, I have some good news for you. Because although disappointment can really trip you up in your faith, it can also be a doorway into a much deeper relationship with God. So, if you've got your Bible with you or your cell phone, open up with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. So, in this passage that we are going to be looking at, the Apostle Paul is sharing that although there is suffering in this life, nothing compares to the glory that we as believers in Christ will one day step into. Now, Paul was a man who knew many disappointments. Through the many beatings, through the many betrayals and many disappointments, he clung to this truth that carried him through all of those difficult times. So let's take a look at this truth. If you look at verse 28 in Romans chapter 8, you'll see that it reads, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, you've probably heard this scripture before. And sometimes I think we can actually allow our familiarity with this passage to actually make us miss the power of what it's actually saying here. Because it needs to be said in this life, everyone suffers. Even the people of God suffer. In fact, Jesus himself told his followers, "In this world, you will have many troubles." But as a believer, you have something fundamentally different going for you. Because when you suffer, when you experience things that hurt, when you get betrayed by a friend, when you desperately want a baby and you can't get pregnant, when you go through the loss of a job or the death of a loved one or any one of the million different things that can hurt us so deeply in this life, well, God can actually take that and use it to shape you and mold you into something beautiful. And it doesn't mean he caused those things to happen, but it does mean that he can work them for good. But in order for God to do that, we have to respond the right way. If we take our eyes off this promise that God will work all things for our good, then disappointment can trip us up in our faith instead. And so I just want to talk for a moment about some of the ways that disappointment can trip us up. The first way disappointment causes us to stumble is it causes us to take our eyes off of God and who he says he is, and instead focus on how disappointed that we feel. I experienced this when I first moved to New Zealand, and it had nothing to do with New Zealand itself. You guys are wonderful people. You see, a few months before Sarah and I arrived in New Zealand, I had a really strong desire that the next thing that I wanted to do with my life was I wanted to go to a flight school, and I wanted to train to become a pilot and fly planes for a living. Great life plan, I thought. And God had been speaking to Sarah and I about moving to New Zealand, and I wasn't sure how New Zealand and training to become a pilot fit together. So I did a little bit of research, got on Google, and I found out that there was a flight school here in Christchurch. And so I went to the Lord and I just said, okay, Lord, you've been giving us all kinds of hints that you're calling us to New Zealand and to specifically to this city, Christchurch, which we had never been to. And I feel like I just need something a little bit more concrete here if we're going to relocate our life to the other side of the world. And so, if you are calling us to this city, and you're all right with me going to this flight school and training to become a pilot, well then I ask you to send someone to me and have them tell me they saw a vision of me flying. So I wasn't sure when God would get back to me on that. Sometimes he likes to make us wait just a little bit. But he surprised me. Less than 24 hours later, I get a call from a friend in Florida, and I haven't shared this with anyone. And I pick up the phone, and the conversation kind of goes like this. I said, hello? He said, hey, before we talk about anything, he said, I just wanted to let you know I was just praying for you and Sarah, and I felt like God gave me a picture. I said, really? What did you see? He said, well, I had this vision of you flying. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you were flying over this beautiful blue ocean to this land of mountains in the middle of the sea. He said, don't know what it means, but anyway, how's your week been? So a whole bunch of things happened, amazing things, miraculous things happened to get Sarah and I here to New Zealand. And with God speaking and acting so clearly, I had very high expectations that when I arrived in Christchurch, the doors were going to open and I was going to go straight into flight school. Air New Zealand, here I come. But that's not exactly how things worked out. And I tried to make it happen, but the doors just didn't open. And so I found myself extremely disappointed and confused as to why God didn't open up these doors when I had felt like he'd clearly been speaking to me. And during those first 2 years that I was here in New Zealand, I felt like God had let me down. And during those 2 years, my disappointment left me feeling dull in my relationship with God. It made it very hard for me to connect in church. And I found myself scratching my head and wondering what the heck happened to my passion for Jesus. And that should have tipped me off straight away that something wasn't right. Because you'll often find that the moment you become disappointed with someone or something was the moment that you became disappointed with it. And when you become disappointed with it, it causes you to lose your passion. What I didn't realize at that time was that while God did care about my dream to be a pilot, he was working on something else, my character. You see, I was so sure that if I just got into flight school, that everything in my life would be amazing and I would be happy. But the truth is, in reflection, a lot of my obsession with getting into flight school had more to do with my own insecurity and feeling like I had to prove that I was doing something worthwhile with my life. By not opening that door when I thought he should open it, God allowed me to see that I was trying to find my worth in my choice of career and presented an opportunity for me to instead find my worth in who he says I am. Also, more recently, I've realized that if I had gone through and started training to become a pilot when I wanted to, what with all this COVID-19 stuff and airlines around the planet laying off thousands and thousands of their staff, I would probably be sitting here with six figures worth of debt and virtually no career prospects for the foreseeable future. But I didn't see that at the time. You know, we can get disappointed with God because it doesn't always look like he has our best interests at heart. But God is always working for our good because he can see what we can't see. And disappointment can trip us up because we can get so focused on what God isn't doing that we actually miss what he is doing in our life. My disappointment tripped me up during my first 2 years in New Zealand. I was so caught up in wondering why God didn't open that door for me that I didn't appreciate at the time that God was actually trying to pry my hands off the steering wheel of my life. Because the truth is, I am not that great of a navigator. I just couldn't see that at the time. Disappointment comes when we start to wonder if God really is as good as he says he is. And if we aren't careful, when we get disappointed about something, we can essentially hold all of the goodness of God hostage, and we say things like, God, if you won't do this one thing for me, well then how could I possibly see you as good? But the problem with that approach and that way of thinking is that it shows that we are trying to be in the driver's seat of our life, and God will only accept us on one condition, and that is surrender. The reason it is so key for you to deal with your disappointments and not let them just sit under the surface is because if you don't deal with these feelings of disappointment, then disappointment can become offense. Offense can become resentment. Resentment can harden into bitterness. And left unchecked, bitterness can solidify into hatred. Disappointment, if not dealt with, can twist you into something you never wanted to be. So, if we respond the right way, then disappointment can actually, instead of being a trip up for us, be the door to your greatest growth. And it can be a part of your journey into becoming who God always intended for you to be. So how can disappointment be a doorway into a deeper relationship with God? Well, disappointment can lead to a deeper relationship with God because one thing that disappointment does very, very well is it helps us to see the current layout of our faith. What do I mean by that? Well, when we get disappointed in our walk with God, it actually reveals our faith level for what it really is, not just what we say it is or what other people think it is. It's easy to trust God and believe in his goodness when people like you, your job's going well, your kids are doing well in school, but you find out real quick just how much you trust God when someone you love goes to the doctor and they say, I'm sorry, it's cancer. You find out real quick how much you trust God when your girlfriend says, I'm sorry, it's just not working out. Or when a global pandemic hits and you lose your job and you've got bills to pay. Disappointment has a way of actually showing us clearly what our faith is really made of. And that's because you can never know how strong something is until it is tested. God will sometimes allow us to experience disappointment at different times in our life because it allows us to see the areas of the garden of our heart where we have some weeds growing up. And those weeds could be doubts, they could be fears, they could be different insecurities that we have. But God wants us to see those weeds so that we can pull them out, so that they won't choke out the beautiful fruit that God desires to bring out of each and every one of you. So in that way, your greatest moments of disappointment can actually become the doorway into your greatest moments of freedom. And another way the disappointment can be a doorway into a deeper relationship with God is when you choose to trust God in the midst of your disappointment. And when you do that, it produces something really beautiful. So take a look with me at James chapter 1, and we'll just take a look at verse 2 here. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Guys, the testing of your faith produces a kind of spiritual grit that you can't get any other way. And this perseverance comes when you go through disappointment and difficulty and you still choose to believe that God is who he says he is and that he's good. And James is encouraging us here, let perseverance finish its work in your life so that you may be mature and complete. How do you achieve maturity in Christ? Well, you've got to walk the road of perseverance. I remember my youth pastors back in Michigan experience this in a very impactful way. My youth pastors' names were Newell and Colleen Sirak. And Newell and Colleen had a daughter named Whitney. And Whitney was attending an out-of-state university called Taylor University. It's a good school. One day, Newell and Colleen got a phone call that every parent dreads receiving. They were told that Whitney had been in a terrible car accident. And she had been with several other students from her university. So Newell and Colleen immediately get inside their car and they drive the 7-hour drive down to the university as fast as they can. And when they arrive, they found out that actually Whitney was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash. Newell and Colleen were devastated. They had to go in and identify Whitney's body, something that was very difficult to do because her body had been very beaten up in the accident. It was a horrifying thing that no parent should have to do. So the Siraks met with the family of one of the survivors of the accident, which was a girl named Laura Van Ryn. Now, Laura had gotten pretty banged up in the crash herself, and she was in a medically induced coma in the intensive care unit at a hospital. So the two families, they got together, they prayed, they cried together, and then Newell and Colleen had to go home without their little girl. Whitney Sirak's funeral was attended by over 1,500 people. And at her funeral, Newell and Colleen shared that although they didn't understand why God had allowed such a tragedy to happen, they had decided they were going to continue to put their trust in him and believe that he was good. 5 weeks later, after Whitney had been buried, the family of Laura Van Ryn started to notice some strange things about their daughter, who was still in the hospital in a coma. First of all, as the swelling started going down, she just looked different than they were expecting her to look, and her teeth weren't quite the same as what they remembered, and then they were wondering when she got her belly button pierced, because as far as they knew, she had never done that. And everything came to a head the day that Laura regained consciousness. And one of the things that they did was they asked her to write her name on a piece of paper. And so they hand her this piece of paper and the pen, and the family sits there and they watch as she writes, W-H-I-T-N-E-Y. Whitney. In that moment, they realized a mistake had been made. You see, the girl lying in the hospital bed that they had believed for 5 weeks was their daughter, Laura, was actually Whitney Sirak. The family immediately called Newell and Colleen and explained to them that their daughter that they assumed was dead for the last 5 weeks was not dead and was still alive. And Whitney went on to make a full recovery. The Van Ryn sadly had to now grieve the loss of their daughter, whom they had believed had initially survived the accident. And throughout the incredible trauma and the shock of this situation, both families maintained their steadfast trust in God. And this story of mistaken identity became known all across America. And Newell and Colleen and the Van Ryn families were invited to actually speak and share about their story on several different TV shows, including the Today Show with Matt Lauer and the Oprah Winfrey Show. And so one of the most beautiful things about the story was the way that these two families responded to the situation. The Van Ryns and the Sirak shared on national television that in the midst of all of their tears and all of their grief, that at the end of the day, they knew Laura was in heaven and that the God that they loved was still as good as he had always been. It was their response to the most devastating disappointment that they had ever faced in their lives that captivated the attention of a nation. And God's faithfulness and his goodness was seen through the way that he carried these two families through the greatest tragedy of their lives and how they continued to put their trust in him. My friends, we don't always get to choose the things that happen to us. And disappointment can come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes in this life. And it might be the hardest thing that you ever do, but when you choose to believe that God is still good in the midst of it, well, then you might just discover the simple beauty of the perseverance that's formed on the inside of you as you make that choice. Will you guys stand with me? Have the band come on up. So maybe you've come here tonight. After listening to this message, you're realizing that somewhere along the way, you've lost your passion. Maybe you've been living disappointed in your relationships or your career or, most importantly, your walk with the Lord. And if that's you, then you're probably asking yourself, well, how do I deal with that disappointment? I want to share with you tonight, there's a few steps that you can take. The first step that you can take is to get really, really gut-level honest with God. This is something that King David often did in the Psalms. He would, even when he felt that God was being slow to respond, he'd say things like, God, why are you sleeping? But you can't stop at that step. You can't just leave all your junk at the foot of the throne and walk out, because if you stop there, that's just complaining. You actually have to linger there for a while and wait to see what God says in response. You know, maybe you have, and you haven't felt like you've heard him say anything. And if that's the case, then I encourage you to keep that posture of listening and go and search out the Word of God for that truth that really is like the long-lost treasure that will sustain you and set your heart right with God again. Lastly, after you've done all that, make a choice to surrender to God. Tell him that you're okay with him taking control of your life again, and that you're okay with him putting his hands back on the steering wheel of your life. So we're just going to kind of linger in this space for a moment. The band's just going to continue to play, and what I want to do is I want to invite you guys to go ahead and close your eyes right now, just where you are, and why don't you just hold out your hands as if you're receiving a gift. And what I want you to do right now is I want you to ask God to bring to mind an area of disappointment. Go ahead and ask him to show you right now. Just as that area of disappointment comes to mind, I just want to encourage you now to be honest with God about how you really feel about that disappointment. Go ahead and talk to him. Thank you. invite you to ask God for what he says about that situation. Take a moment, ask him that, and let's listen. Sense the Holy Spirit is hovering over different ones of us here in the room tonight, and he's releasing his word into your heart, and it's like a key that will unlock rooms of your heart that have been locked for years, places you've been too afraid to open back up and let the light in. That I just want to invite you now to make that choice tonight to surrender that area of disappointment to the Lord, to offer it to him, and to take your hands off the wheel and ask Jesus to steer your life again. Sensing the Lord is wanting to set some of us free tonight from disappointment of some things that parents spoke over you. They said some things that were really unfair. I just feel like God is speaking to you tonight and saying, that does not define you. What they said about you does not define you. What I say matters. You are my son. You are my daughter. You've been adopted in. Holy Spirit, I ask for a refreshing tonight. Lord, where we've come in heavy, I pray for even during this last song that we're going to sing, God, that there would just be a release of an overflowing of your spirit, an overwhelming sense of your nearness and your presence, the kind of presence that sets us free in an instant, the kind of presence that quiets all of the questions that we have. Would you come and visit us tonight as we worship? In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.